You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat Satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
And now we enlighten you with Ayah 260 to 263 of Surah Baqarah, recited by Shahriyar Parhizgar.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa idh qala Ibrahim Rabbi arini kayfa tuhyil mauta qala awalam tu'min qala bala walakin liyatma'inna qalbi قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم
In the name of Allah, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. And when Abraham said, My Lord, show me how you revive the dead. He said, Do you not believe? He said, Yes indeed, but in order that my heart may be at rest. He said, Take four of the birds, then cut them into pieces, and place a part of them on every mountain. Then call them, they will come to you, hastening, and know that Allah is Almighty and All-Wise. Those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah, and then do not follow what they have spent with reproaches and affronts, they shall have their reward near their Lord, and they will have no fear, nor will they grieve. An honorable word with pardon is better than a charity followed by a front, and Allah is all-sufficient, most forbearing.
Welcome once again, dear listeners. Let's take a look at what's coming up your way in the next hour. We begin with the latest news. Stay informed with the top headlines and major developments from across the globe. Following the news, immerse yourself in the ocean of dua with Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi. This reflective program explores the rich spiritual traditions of Islamic supplications and ziyarat, drawing from revered collections such as Mafatih al-Jinan. Each episode features insightful commentary on selected prayers, including Dua Komail, Munajat Shabaniya, Dua Abu Hamza Somali, Ziyarat Ashura, shedding light on the meaning and the spiritual guidance they offer. After that, we return to radio productions for another segment of curated content, spanning a wide range of thoughtful and engaging topics. To close the hour, we turn to insights into the Holy Quran with Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi. This program takes listeners to verse by verse through the Quran, offering concise yet profound interpretations that illuminate the divine message and draw out practical lessons for everyday life. Coming up next is news. Please stay with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
UNICEF says nearly 2 children are killed in Gaza every day since the ceasefire took effect. Clashes break out in the Italian city of Bologna as thousands rally against presence of an Israeli basketball team. And the Russian president warns that Ukraine risks losing more land without peace talks. Live from Tehran, I am Bahman Nouri, and this is news. Israel has launched fresh attacks across the Gaza Strip, wounding children and violating the ceasefire agreement yet again. In the northern Gaza, an Israeli drone strike injured 4 children in Beit Lahia. The Israeli helicopters and drones also struck eastern Jabalia, while a powerful explosion was heard in the Al Boraj camp. In the south, Nasser Hospital reports that the Israeli forces shot dead a displaced person near Khan Yunis city. According to UNICEF, an average of nearly 2 children get killed in Gaza every day since the ceasefire took effect in October. That is at least 67 children killed, with dozens more injured. Israel's genocidal war since October 2023 has claimed the lives of over 69,500 Palestinians. Our correspondent in Deir al-Balah, Muti Abu Musab, has provided us with further details on Israel's ceasefire violations across the war-ravaged Gaza Strip.
Israeli occupation forces proceeded to demolish and detonate more residential buildings in the eastern side of the central area of Gaza Strip, particularly Jahr al-Dik area. In the meantime, more Palestinian residential buildings were detonated in the eastern side of Az-Zaytun neighborhood in Gaza City. And the situation is still alike and the same in the northern part of Gaza Strip, whereas the Israeli occupation forces have detonated several heavy trap robots and those areas. And even when it comes to the southern parts of Gaza Strip, the Israeli occupation forces are still intensifying their attacks against various parts of the eastern section of Khan Yunis city, including Beni Suhaila area. They have destroyed several residential buildings. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery continued to strike those areas incessantly. We are still able to hear several explosions booming and echoing in those areas as a result of the incessant attacks against those areas. It's noteworthy that the Israeli regime is still trying to impose new realities on the ground by continuing their attacks from air, land, and sea against the areas located beyond the so-called yellow demarcation line in the eastern side of Gaza Strip. But unfortunately, as you know, the Israeli regime is still ongoing with its policy of continuing those attacks to include even various parts of Gaza Strip located in the western side of that yellow line. So this reflects how perilous and serious the situation is for those Palestinian people.
The Israeli forces continued their deadly raids across the occupied West Bank, killing a young Palestinian southwest of Nablus and injuring another person. The Israeli army announced that during its operations in the West Bank, more than 60 Palestinians were detained. Among those arrested was a Palestinian journalist who was passing through the town of Huwara, south of Nablus. Earlier, 2 Palestinian teenagers were killed in a raid by Israeli forces on the town of Kafar Aqab near occupied Al-Quds. 3 others were also injured during the raid. Meanwhile, Israeli settlers have set fire to a car parts yard near Nablus. The blaze destroyed dozens of vehicles and caused significant damage. Since October 2023, more than 1,000 Palestinians have been killed in attacks carried out by Israeli forces and settlers across the West Bank. Our West Bank correspondent Naga Hamad joined us earlier with an update on the latest attacks against Palestinians by Israeli forces across the occupied territory. Let us take a listen.
Let me start by the announcement by the Palestinian Ministry of Health of the martyrdom of the Palestinian Yunus Walid Mohammed Shtayyeh, 24 years old, in the village of Til to the south of occupied Nablus in an assassination operation which has been implemented by special forces that filtrated into the village of Til. Later to this filtration, another supporting unit of the Israeli forces have raided Til and closed the entrances and besieged the entire area of the confrontation between the late Yunus Shtayyeh and the raiding IOF forces. For several hours, Yunus was injured and left on the ground, as the videos clearly show. He was left on the ground bleeding until he passed away. The Israeli forces detained his body and announced that they will not be handing in his body towards the Palestinian side. Another attack happened into the province of Nablus, which since yesterday there has not been quiet time in Nablus, as the Israeli forces continues their raid upon the city, Nablus city, especially in Askar refugee camp, detaining many Palestinians, attacking homes, ransacking homes, and according to local resources, of course, firing tear gas canisters and live ammunition.
The Israeli regime has carried out a new strike on Lebanon, violating the ceasefire with a drone attack on a vehicle in the country's south. Lebanon's health ministry confirmed that one person was killed in the strike in the town of Fraun. Earlier, the ministry announced that more than 300 people have been killed and nearly 1,000 injured since the ceasefire deal with Israel in November 2024. The deal requires regime's full withdrawal, yet Israeli forces remain in Lebanon's territory. Lebanese officials call this a violation of UN Resolution 1701. Prime Minister Nawaf Salam says Israel refuses to enter talks to end the occupation. The UN peacekeepers report more than 7,500 aerospace breaches and 2,500 ground violations north of the Blue Line. They also say 360 weapons left behind by Israeli troops were handed to the Lebanese army. Political analyst and military expert Ali Hamia says Israel has repeatedly violated UN Resolution 1701 with more than 7,000 breaches, while Lebanon has fully complied.
We know that according to 1701 violation, Israel has violated this resolution more than 7,000 times, and Lebanon fully comply with this resolution. And even the president, Lebanese president, has issued that we are ready since 27/11/2024 to go into negotiation in order to for Israel that gave us will withdraw from Lebanon within 60 days. Up to now, nothing happened. They accumulate and they accelerate their aggression against Lebanon. Now they are, like, every week there is some violation going on against Lebanon. So they did not withdraw. They did not comply with the Resolution 1701. And they still committing assassination against the Lebanese civilian people.
In Italy, clashes erupted between police and protesters in the northern city of Bologna as thousands took to the streets to protest against the presence of an Israeli basketball team in the city. Police police fired tear gas and used water cannons to disperse demonstrators who were chanting slogans in support of the people of Palestine and waving Palestinian flags. Protesters denounced the decision to hold a match between Virtus Bologna and Maccabi Tel Aviv in the city. They called for Israel to be suspended from international sports competitions. The demonstration comes amid growing anti-Israeli sentiments in the world over the regime's actions in Gaza, with activists urging a boycott of Israeli sports teams. In recent months, the participation of Israeli sports teams in European competitions has sparked protests in many cities. Yemen's health ministry is warning of a deepening humanitarian crisis as Sana'a International Airport remains closed. The facility was forced to shut down following Israeli airstrikes earlier this year. The ministry says the resulting health crisis is now affecting every family in Yemen. Dr. Latif Al-Bashali reports from Sana'a.
Yemen's health minister Ali Shayban paints a stark picture of a health system suffocating under siege. Medicines are vanishing, chronic patients are deteriorating, children are dying before help can reach them. He called the shutdown of Sana'a International Airport a crime against humanity, especially after Israeli strikes destroyed its capacity, cutting off the only viable route for life-saving drugs. Families now face a brutal reality. No airport means no treatment, and no treatment means lives lost.
Today, we renew our call for the United Nations to operate flights and reopen Sana'a International Airport to save thousands of patients who urgently need to travel abroad for treatment. More than 250,000 patients require medical travel for serious and life-threatening conditions. Over 1,330 types of essential medicines, including immune therapies and other critical drugs, have not been allowed into the country due to the air blockade.
The ministry says that thousands have been deprived of essential medications due to the air blockade. It warns that inaction would cause more deaths that can be simply prevented.
The continued closure of Sana'a International Airport clearly proves that the international humanitarian and health organizations that constantly preach about human rights are fully politicized and operate under American and Israeli influence. The clearest example is what is happening in Yemen, where thousands of people urgently need to travel for treatment but remain unable to do so as the airport remains closed to this moment.
Israel struck Sana'a International Airport in early May this year, damaging its runway, terminal, and several aircraft. The regime struck the facility again as Yemen continued its military operations against Israeli targets in response to its war on Gaza. Yemen's health ministry says the reopening of the airport, once a lifeline for the population, is an urgent humanitarian obligation, not a political convenience.
The health crisis continues to escalate as life-saving medicines remain blocked from entering the country. Officials warn that unless urgent steps are taken to restore medical access, thousands of vulnerable patients will face worsening conditions with no alternative options. Abdulatif Loshali, Sana'a.
Russian President Vladimir Putin said Moscow has received U.S.'s peace proposals for Ukraine, adding the plan could form a basis for resolving the conflict.
We have this text of U.S. proposed peace plan. We received it through existing channels of communication with the U.S. administration. I believe it can be used as the basis of a final peaceful settlement, but it has not been discussed with us in detail, and I can guess why. The reason is the same. The U.S. administration has so far failed to secure Ukraine's consent.
Putin added that Ukraine rejected the plan and argued that neither Kyiv nor European powers grasp the reality of Russian advances on the battlefield. He warned that without peace talks, Ukraine will inevitably lose more territory, like the recently captured city of Kupiansk. The Russian leader emphasized that while military operations continue to achieve Moscow's objectives, he remains open to negotiations. Putin said a peaceful resolution requires detailed discussions of the U.S. proposals and that Russia is prepared to engage in such talks. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky, on the other hand, says the country is facing one of the most difficult moments in its history, warning that Kyiv may be forced into a painful choice.
Right now is one of the most difficult moments in our history. The pressure on Ukraine is one of the hardest. Ukraine may face a very difficult choice, either the loss of dignity or the risk of losing a key partner, either the complex 28 points or an extremely harsh winter, the harshest, with further risks.
In an emergency address to the nation, the Ukrainian president also stressed that he won't betray his country's national interests. He said he will propose alternatives to the plan put forward by the Trump administration. A 28-point peace plan drafted by the U.S. has reportedly called for Ukraine to give up the entire Donbass region, limit the size of its military, and prohibit any foreign troop presence in its territory. The draft is also believed to suggest the use of $100 billion of frozen Russian assets for a U.S.-led effort to reconstruct Ukraine. It rules out NATO membership for Kyiv while keeping the EU path open. The deal also demands snap elections for Ukraine in 100 days. Iran's foreign minister says the United States and European powers have assaulted diplomacy every step of the way and brought about the collapse of the Cairo Agreement between Tehran and the International Atomic Energy Agency. Abbas Araghchi said despite Iran signing a deal with the IAEA in Cairo to resume inspections in the aftermath of U.S.-Israeli aggression, the EU3 pursued UN sanctions against Tehran under U.S. pressure. He added that when Iran began giving IAEA inspectors access to its unharmed nuclear facilities, the U.S. and the EU3 moved together to censure Tehran at the IAEA Board of Governors. Abbas Araghchi emphasized it is clear Iran is not the party seeking to manufacture another crisis, warning that the U.S. and the EU3 are seeking escalation. Earlier, Foreign Ministry spokesman Ismail Baghaei commented on the anti-Iran resolution adopted by the IAEA Board of Governors. He said it is a clear misuse of an international institution and undermines the agency's independence and credibility. The Russian Foreign Ministry also slammed the resolution as a serious blow to international trust in the IAEA. The humanitarian crisis in Sudan is worsening with mounting death and a growing health emergency among civilians. Sudan's Doctors Network reported that 23 children in the cities of Dilink and Kadugli have died within 1 month due to severe malnutrition. It also warned that the siege of Dilink and Kadugli is endangering the lives of thousands of civilians. Meanwhile, the European Union has imposed sanctions on a senior leader of Sudan's paramilitary forces. The EU cited grave and ongoing atrocities committed by forces under Abdul Rahim Dagalo's command during the more than two-year war with the Sudanese army. At the same time, the UN is pressing for access to the city of Al-Fasha, a famine-stricken city in Darfur. UN aid chief Tom Fletcher said the city would be treated as a crime scene for investigations into systematic executions, detentions and rapes. And that is a wrap for this hour's news bulletin. Thank you so much for staying with us.
The sound of the angel's wings. She has so many more friends in the skies than on the earth. Oh, my daughter, you're my sword. You're my calm in the storm. All my dreams will come true 'cause of you. You are a part of me and the light of my eyes. It's you. Longing for heaven, I breathe in your scent and ooze.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Murarisi here with another special edition of this program, The Ocean of Dua. In this special edition and during this sacred and holy month of Ramadan, we'll try to talk about some parts of Iftitah supplication, and we'll be bringing you the commentary on some parts of this supplication. We'll be back again after you listen to some parts of this dua, so stay with us.
وتتودد إلي فلا أقبل منك كأن لي التطول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من الرحمة لي والإحسان إلي والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك.
O Lord, you invite me, but I turn away. You offer affection while I respond with disinterest in you. You love me, but I do not respond, thinking you are overreaching me. But with all these things, yet you do not abstain from bestowing favors and blessings on me from your mercy and generosity. From this part of the supplication, فَلَمْ يَمْنَعْكَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ لِي وَالْإِحْسَانِ إِلَيِّ وَالتَّفَضُّلِ عَلَيَّ بِجُودِكَ وَكَرَمِكَ. We understood how the Almighty Allah loves His servants. Yet you do not abstain from bestowing favors and blessings on me out of your mercy and generosity. And we said, the reason we turn away from him might be from this fact that we do not recognize and know the value of getting closer and fervently praying to God. One of the ulama has said, it is undesirable for a servant to ask his master to provide his material needs, wholesome food, decent clothing, and pleasant abode. The wise servant is the one who is always preoccupied with acting upon order of his master. His master knows the set of rules of mastership as well as the needs of his servants. There is no need for the servant to remind his master of his needs. So you see, asking for such things is below lofty purpose. The servant must be heedful of his master's order and must execute it, and he shouldn't think about himself. So we all should ask God for the opportunity to serve Him, and we must believe that this opportunity is itself one of God's mercies and favors. So we must ask God for an opportunity to become what is pleasing to Him. Anyway, the doors of God's mercy are always ever open. So what is important in this case is the servant to acquire merits to talk to his master. To privately talk to the worshipped being, or ma'bud, is more valuable than anything else. If the servant is important in the sight of his master, he will allow him to beseech and fervently pray to him. The master will also listen to him and might give him whatever he desires. Among people, such opportunities and chances rarely occur, especially if the master is always busy. He hardly finds time to talk and listen to his servants. Even if the servant is extremely fond of his master and eager to talk to him, he will not find any opportunity. But what kind of God do we have? God is such a master that, notwithstanding his immense and indescribable might, he still accepts his servants no matter how wicked and ungrateful they are and listens to their supplications. Whenever his servants call him, he answers and welcomes them. In Hadith Qudsi, God said to one of the Israeli prophets, "I am very fond of my servants and wait for them to return to me. They have turned their backs and kept aloof from me. In spite of that, I am waiting for their return." And that's why in another part of this dua, we read, "Alhamdulillahi alladhi la yuhtaku hijabu, wa la yughlaqu babuhu, wa la yuraddu sa'ilu." Praise be to Allah. None can disclose anything hidden by Him. None can shut the doors kept open by Him. And no one who makes a request is sent away disappointed by Him.
The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites the new moon of the month, let him fast it, and whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful.
You know what part especially I'm eager of? This part that says, وَلَا يُغْلَقُ بَابُ, and His doors will never close. The Almighty Allah's doors are always open, especially that door of mercy that we have so many ways of reaching that door in this world. You know, dear listeners, it is only in certain periods that the kindness of a philanthropic person benefits others. Even the rulers that are known for their justice and magnanimity, they opened their courts to the public only on certain days of the year. They did not entertain everybody, every day, every moment, and everywhere, yet the doors of divine mercy are always open to those who ask for His grace. He answers whenever you call Him, since He Himself has said, Udu'uni astajib lakum. Call unto me and I will answer you. That's why we should Thank God for these mercies. Alhamdulillahi alladhi la yuhtaku hijabu. Praise be to Allah. And no one can disclose anything hidden by Him. وَلَا يُغْلَقُ بَابُهُ. And no one can shut the doors kept open by Him. وَلَا يُرَدُّ سَائِلُهُ. And no one who makes a request is sent away disappointed by Him. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to bestow on us the power and bravery to face dreadful events and difficulties in our lives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. English Radio.
People that wanted to visit the city of Shiraz would go through the Quran gate. But nowadays, with the volume of cars, only people pass. Join me as I visit the city of Shiraz.
The Quran gate is the first thing you'll notice as you enter the city from the north, as two old copies of Islam's holy book was kept here in the past. At the entrance of the city also lies the statue of Haju Kermani, a poet and mystic from the 14th century. His poems are mostly about spirituality. His works are believed to have influenced another Iranian poet called Hafiz, which we'll get to later in this program. Haju Kermani traveled to many lands during his time, but that stopped when he came to Shiraz.
The city of Shiraz is known for its poets and poetry. Many renowned Iranian poets lived here. Haju Kermani, when he visited the city of Shiraz, he never left.
This is likely because the rulers of this land valued arts.
The Arg of Karim Khan is a citadel built during the 18th century as the living headquarters of Karim Khan Azam himself. Later it was a prison, and now it's a museum, which we can enter.
Karim Khan Azam founded the Zand dynasty and declared Shiraz his capital, and thus many buildings were erected in this city during his rule.
The architecture of the citadel combines military and residential architecture, as was the home of Karim Khan Azam and also the head of his military headquarters.
Karim Khan was different from other rulers of the time. When he came to power, he refused to be called king. He accepted the title, the advocate of the people, that is, Vakil in Persian. Many structures built during his time carry Vakil in their name. Stained glass goes hand in hand with Iranian architecture. From homes to palaces, most windows were decorated this way. But it wasn't just for beauty.
The interesting thing about tinted glass is it's first soothing for the environment and for the eyes, and also it keeps the insects away, they say. I don't see any insects here, do you?
Next stop is the Vakil Bathhouse, a place where people from all walks of life would chit-chat and also bathe. At the entry, every part of the society had their own section, and many of the people's problems were resolved just here. It was like the city's or the town's informal council. And about the building itself, and even in this building, which is a bathhouse, there's lots of detail put in the architecture. So this shows you how much Iranians valued every single building, even a bathhouse. Walking through this bath, I saw wall after wall of detail put in the making. And it's quite big for a place to bathe. But this also shows this place was more like a hangout or a place they would spend hours in. Not just a quick shower like we do today. And may I remind you, they didn't shower every day in the old days.
This place was way more than a bathhouse. Like, for example, one person's having a scrub, the other's having a massage, and of course, one of them is bathing. And on the other side, there's one person getting a haircut, a shave, and that guy there got his tooth pulled out.
The Vakil Mosque is another landmark of Shiraz. The 48 columns in its prayer hall, carved in spirals, are one of its outstanding features. Next is Bazar-e Vakil, a big market still in use today to find everything from Shiraz and beyond. From spices and herbs to sweets and confectionery, and many, many more, this is the place to visit. You can find every kind of souvenir here, many cool things you can buy, and every quarter has its own goods. One unique part in this bazaar is where several hallways meet.
Okay, many of Iran's bazaars are similar in shape. But the difference for the bazaar in Shiraz is this little part here is called the Saray-e Murshid, where you can get your hands on many little things like little antiques, little jewelry, or little souvenirs where you can take home.
Talking about cool things, there was also an antique shop that topped my list. The Vakil Bazaar is one of the longest stretching and most famous bazaars in Iran. It is located in the center of Shiraz and is amongst Iran's national heritage sites. Saadi, another one of the renowned poets of this land. He was born in Shiraz. He spent more than two decades traveling outside of Persia, following the Mongol invasion. His works reflect upon the lives of ordinary people, suffering displacement, agony, and conflict. His best-known works, Bustan, meaning the orchard, and Golestan, the rose garden, consist of stories illustrating the standard virtues recommended to Muslims, being justice, kindness, modesty, and gratification.
Saadi is one of the most famous Iranian poets of all time. His poetry is seen all over the world, not just in Iran. One of the verses that is seen in the UN building in New York is, "All men and women are to each other the limbs of a single body.
each of us drawn from life's shimmering essence, God's perfect pearl. And when this life we share wounds one of us, all share the hurt as if it were our own. You who will not feel another's pain, you forfeit the right to be called human. This was just one. And talking about flowers and gardens, the city of Shiraz is also famous for its Persian gardens. And in spring, the scent of flowers fills the sky in this city. The whole city is like a big flower shop. And last but not least is Persian poet Hafez. He was a spiritual poet and mystic known by his pen name Hafez. It means a person that knows the Quran by heart. It is believed that he also knew the works of Sa'di, Rumi, and several other poets by heart too. His mausoleum located in a garden is where people gather to recite his poems, relax, and enjoy the environment. It's a popular hangout for artists in Shiraz. Hafez, one of the most prominent Iranian poets of all time. While he passed away several centuries ago, still you can find his poems in the homes of Iranians today. So this shows you how important he was in Persian literature. Some regard him as the pinnacle of Persian literature. And a goodbye from Shiraz. I'm Pedram Khaledadi for the Iran program.
Muhammad. insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you, and in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the contents of Surah Al-Ankabut, or Chapter Spider, the 29th chapter of the Holy Quran. Brothers and sisters, we have reached the 33rd verse of Surah Al-Ankabut. So, let's listen to the verse, and we will be back with our discussion.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ولما أن جاءت رسلنا لوطا سيئ بهم وضاق بهم ذرعا وقالوا لا تخف ولا تحزن إِنَّا مُنَجُّوكَ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ كَانَتْ مِنَ الْغَابِرِينَ
And when our messengers came to Lot, he was distressed for them and felt for them great discomfort. They said, Fear not, nor grieve. Indeed, we will save you and your family, except your wife. She is to be of those who remain behind.
So, as we said earlier, brothers and sisters, the story of Prophet Lut and his people continues. It started with the indecency and lewdness of the people, and this prophet warned them. He said, "Innakum lata'tuna ar-rijal," you are actually approaching the males, and what is wrong with you? They did not accept. They actually did not accept the invitation to monotheism and actually did not want to let go of their misbehaviors and bad actions. So there were some messengers out of the angels of the Almighty Allah that came to Prophet Abraham, and upon giving him the good news, which was being granted a son from the Almighty Allah, they said that, "Inna muhliku ahli hadhihi al-qariya," we are going to destroy the actually people of this town. So Prophet Abraham, because he wanted to his heart to calm down, he asked about the situation of Lut, and they said that he will be saved, of course, illa imra'atah, except his wife. So now the verse, in this verse, in the 33rd verse, the story also continues. وَلَمَّا أَنْجَاتْ رُسُولُنَا لُوطًا سِيئَ بِهِمْ وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرَعَ These actually guests of the Almighty Allah, these messengers, these angels came to Prophet Lut as well. So thereupon he was afraid. He was distressed. And why was that? His anxiety was not for that he did not know them. His anxiety was because of the polluted environment they were entering. So he was afraid of what would happen to his guests, his honorable guests, and because he knew what these shameless people of his might do before these honorable guests. So that's why the verse says, "Si'a bihim." The Quranic word "si'a" is derived from "sa'a" in the sense of to become grievous. And the Arabic word actually "dhara" means the heart or temper. So the Quranic phrase, ذَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعَى means that he became grievous and inconvenient. So, regarding it, also, some of the Islamic commentators have said that this phrase actually originally means that the distance between the front legs of a camel at the same time of walking are to be looked at. So, it means that dharra is the distance between the legs of the camel. And since when a heavy load is put on its back, it decreases the distance of the steps, lesser and narrower, this sentence, laqa bihim dhar'a, is mentioned as ironically for a heavy and laborious event. So the point is that when the angels and those guests found his inconvenience soon, they introduced themselves, they actually removed his anxiety, and they told him those shameless people could not do anything, and all of them would be annihilated very soon. So, dear listeners, as you were with us, after Prophet Lut expressed his worry about the fate of these guests he was having, they said that no one can do anything and they are going to be destroyed. The verse said, وَقَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. They said, fear not nor grieve. إِنَّا مُنَجُّوكَ وَأَهْلَكَ. We will surely deliver you and your family. إِلَّا مْرَأَتَكَ. Of course, except your wife, كانت من الغابرين. She shall be of those who stay behind. And of course, the verses of chapter Hud also clearly show that when these evil people were informed of the arrival of the guests of Lut, they came to him and intended to bother him and actually these guests. But Lut, who had not known the angels, that's why he became very anxious. And he wanted to hinder them from doing that actions. Sometimes with advice, sometimes with threat, sometimes by way of arousing their conscience, saying that, is there not among you one upright man? That's how Prophet actually tried to stop them. He actually, this is really interesting, he actually suggested them to marry his daughters. He said that if you are going to attack my guests, because you're approaching males, I'm going to let you marry my daughter lawfully if you think you have the need in you. But those disgraced people did not accept anything, and they thought only of their own evil aim. But the messengers of Almighty Allah, it was here that they introduced themselves to Prophet Lut. We'll talk about it more in the next episode, God willing. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the
life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Until the next program, take care.
When the whole world is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Greetings, dear listeners, and a sincere thank you for joining us here on Iran Radio. We begin with another segment of radio productions. Next, we present Olema's speech. In this program, you'll hear excerpts from the original Farsi and Arabic lectures of esteemed Islamic and Shia scholars and authorities. Accompanied by English translation, it's a unique opportunity to hear directly from the scholars who shape our understanding of faith and practice. Then Radio Productions returns with more engaging content. Concluding this hour is Minbar. Up next is time for another segment of Radio Productions. Please stay with us.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked as
the holy prophet of Islam is the example
of عمل انسان بعد از
self purification is the most significant fact.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
امامت is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
یه وقت آدم در حرم رو میبوسه فکر میکنم به عشق امام رضا در حرم میبوسه به عشق حضرت علی و امام حسین.
Sometimes a person is kissing the shrine thinking they are kissing it out of love of Imam Reza, out of love for Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam al-Hussein. But they come into the courtyard and do not kiss the wooden door. It is clear that their pilgrimage is because of the gold, that is the golden dome. We must seek refuge in someone who knows what we are made of, because sometimes a person does not even know himself.
من ممکنه 10 تا سخنرانی برای عدالت بکنم که همه مردم میگن به به.
I might give 10 speeches about justice and everyone says